Now, I will discuss a few examples in which microgravity may favor biotechnology and biomedical applications. And these are projects which we have carried out with other partners in the last 10 years. The idea behind that is that if you want to produce a tissue or an organ at 1G, the problem at 1G that if you don't steer, so you don't stress the cell culture, the cell sediment and make a package which is does not favor the formation of tissues. But if we are weightless, so it's a very naive cartoon, if you are weightless, cells can aggregate and grow and make a tissue which has a structure which probably is more suitable to prepare, for instance, artificial cartilages. One project was carried out by a German colleague, Augustinus Bader, and was flown on a sounding rocket as a preliminary experiment. So on a sounding rocket, you have a flight. I have shown you, I think, the first day. You have a flight which lasts a few minutes, so you cannot make biotechnology in a few minutes. But it was tested. And what Bader, Augustinus Bader, wants to do is to produce artificial aorta, artificial artery. And the technology consists of taking pieces of blood vessels from an animal, make them, because each time you transplant something, it must be biocompatible with the patient which receives the implant. So you cannot just take a piece of aorta from an animal and transplant it to a human because it will be rejected by the immune system due to what I told you last week, the histocompatibility complex. So what Augustinus takes is a piece of aorta as a model. This is still basic research. Makes a kind of chamber, as you see here, and then he lets inside grow autologous cells from which should be the patient. So you have here a piece of aorta, you have here a container, and you let grow inside on the interior and also on the exteriors of this piece of aorta from an animal, the cells of the patient. And by the end, it's hoped to get a piece of aorta which can be implanted in the patient. And here you see how was the chamber. There were several chambers with fresh medium. And here is the how it looks when it's going to be installed in the sounding rocket. So it's an absolutely preliminary experiment by which later on one could hope to do this in a larger scale on a space station. So this is the experiment with aorta. Now let's look at the cartilage, the neocartilage formation. Stamenkovic, Vlada, and Keller Georg were two students which came to our laboratory and say, there is a program of the European Space Agency by which student can propose an experiment, and if the experiment is accepted, they can fly their own experiment in space. So we were tutor of these students, and we started a project based on the formation of cartilage. And last year, the project started more than 10 years ago, and it was a long project, but last year we were successful in publishing the results of this project in a very good journal, Tissue Engineering. First of all, we started to do experiment with the random positioning machine, which as you've seen already, the simulator of microgravity. So before going into space, we carried out several experiments on ground in simulation. And this was all the work done by ourselves when the students were not yet active. Now, I have shown you before the production of artificial cartilage on scaffold. There was a company in Zurich which patented a procedure which was scaffold-free. The idea was to have a small container in which you put the chondrocytes. Chondrocytes are the precursor cells of the cartilage. All our cartilage are made of chondrocytes. So the project I'm discussing here was done with chondrocytes taken from pig, from animals, from pig. So we went to the slaughterhouse where they were killing hundreds of pigs. We took out the cartilage, we made the culture, we isolate the chondrocytes, and we made the culture of chondrocytes. And here in this small container, we put the high concentration of cells, and we culture them, hoping that cartilage is formed. Now, this has been patented, and part of the cartilage produced with human cells is also used for surgery. So this was the culture chamber. And here there is no scaffold, scaffold-free, so we are free from the problem of taking or eliminating the scaffold when the cartilage is done. And the experiment which I'm showing here was carried out during 3 weeks, 21 days, in this system, in the in the three-dimensional clinostat, random positioning machine, and the control at 1G. And you see was in this small container, you see the configuration at 1G reflects the shape of the container, whereas in the random positioning machine, we have more or less a spherical structure. So the structure of the cartilage obtained under simulated zero-G condition is completely different from the one, the one obtained at 1G. And then by using different dyeing markers, we looked at the structure of the cartilage. And one of the dye used is called Alcyon Blue. And we saw here that the structure, these are single cells, these are all chondrocytes, we are linked together by collagen. Collagen is the protein which is growing with the chondrocytes and makes the tissue. So here is the tissue grown on the simulated zero-G, and here is the tissue at 1G, and you see that the consistency is completely different. And here we have another dye, again, of the same material, but with another dye called safranin, and you see that the consistency of the tissue is different. The question is this better than this? We don't have an answer yet. And when you make another analysis of the same tissue at 0G and 1G, you see that the structure, here you see the single chondrocytes embedded in collagen, is quite different from the 1G. I think this is a much better structured material than this one, but it is not possible at this point to say if this is better or not for an implant in a patient. So this is the project, is the status of the project using the random positioning machine. But the results are quite interesting. We also made, you see, this is the container in which we grow the cartilage, and this is a kind of container for experimenting space. This has to be attached to a system which provides fresh medium and so on. And we have flown this one on a sounding rocket just to make a test. The project is now on hold because the company does not, Sulzer Medica does not exist anymore, and we did not proceed with this project, but the student were doing their experiment. So the student made a kind of bioreactor system in which they tried to grow the chondrocytes and to grow the cartilage. And they went to Baikonur, and this was not Soyuz, was not International Space Station, was just a satellite, was a rocket with a satellite. And the Russian system is absolutely perfect. There are almost no accident. And strangely enough, when the rocket was launched, the rocket exploded. The two students they were close to the launch pad. They ran behind the truck, and they were safe. Three people died. It was a terrible accident. And at the end, they recovered. This was the equipment was recovered, so the experiment was lost. But they did not resign. They got a second possibility to fly the experiment, this time on the space station. So they made a new equipment. Here is a picture when they're working in the laboratory in Baikonur, not far from the launch pad. There was a very good launch, no accident. Here they had cosmonauts on board, which were going to the space station. They joined the space station. They were able to follow the mission in the control center in the Institute of Biomedical Problems in Moscow. And then they got the samples back, and they started to do the analysis. And the data were published in the journal Tissue Engineering, as I've shown you before. And what is interesting, this time, they had a control at 1G. They have an experiment on the International Space Station. They have, at the same time, an experiment in the random positioning machine, and they have a reference. This is fresh control, and this is the reference, eight days in orbit. And just to show one of the, they make a genetic expression analysis. I'm not going into the detail too much, but what was seen is that blue is the production of collagen type 2. As I told you before, collagen is the protein which keeps all the chondrocytes together, and another component which is called COMP. And you see the genetic expression does not change very much in the random positioning machine. In the ISS, more production. But what's very strange is that the genetic expression of the substance called COMP has dramatically changed on the International Space Station, whereas in the random positioning machine, does not change very much compared to the reference at 1G. So we don't have an explanation of that. We have to take this as an interesting result. And then it was an analysis, again, as before, was made of the tissue obtained in space in the random position machine and the reference and 1G. And what you can see is that the tissue obtained in simulated 0G and on the ESS are quite similar compared to the 1G. And just as before, the 1G has a different constitution than the 0G. So I think this is what came out of that experiment. And in the meantime, we have also have learned one thing. I think is a little bit too exaggerated to hope that we will be able to install on the International Space Station or whatever on a station big bioreactors and produce cartilage, because a patient which needs a cartilage needs it within a few days or a few weeks, and the whole system of the International Space Station is much too complicated. What the advantages of the International Space Station is that we can make some preliminary experiment, look if weightlessness is useful or not, and then try to do the real experiment, the real production, if there is a reason to do it, to do the real production of artificial cartilage on ground in the random positioning machine or in other machine, rotating vessel, which could be available. But we were able to gain a lot of new knowledge about the cartilage system by doing this kind of experiment. And now I move to another interesting example. You will see that from all these examples, we are still in the pioneering phase. We are not producing anything so far. But this was an experiment conducted with German colleagues, especially Johann Bauer and Daniela Green. At that time, she was in Berlin. Now she is professor in Denmark. And we looked at the formation. Don't look too much to this complicated title, which was published in another good journal 5 years ago. We studied the formation of the possible formation of blood vessels. And we use epithelial cells, human cells. Epithelia mean skin cells, which were cultured in the random positioning machine for different time using a growth factor. Growth factors are kind of chemicals which are able to promote the growth. And if, we look at this as a model in vitro to produce vascular tissue, to produce blood vessels. And indeed, we see in the random positioning machine, after 24 hours, the epithelial cells aggregate and form a kind of vessel. Forget about this. If we look in more in detail in the structure of the vessel, we see that a real tissue has formed, an endothelium and the lumen. So this is real a kind of blood vessel. Again, I'm not telling that we are going to produce by this technology blood vessel yet, but if there is a progress in this technology, and I think Daniela Grimm is working on that in Denmark now, there might be a possibility later on, not in space, but probably in the random position machine, to produce blood vessels. Let's go to bone cells. Bone cells is a very interesting topic, and I told you already once, the bone cells are divided in two important groups. The osteoblasts, that's a mistake here, blasts, osteoblasts, not blasts, osteoblasts, responsible for the continuous remodeling of bone material. As I was telling you, that permanently our bones, our teeth are degraded and again reconstituted. Whereas the osteoclasts are responsible for the degradation of bone material. And for instance, in the case of osteoporosis, the osteoclasts have a higher activity than the osteoblasts. And again, we had an interesting work which was performed in the random positioning machine, this time with Monica Monici from the University of Florence in Italy. And we look at this system. So we took human leukemic cells which have the character of osteoclast precursor, osteoclast. Now, this is a very rare cell line. I think one or two laboratories in the world, one of them is the laboratory in Florence, have this kind of osteoclastic cell line. I remind you, osteoclastic are the cells which are degrading the bone. And we the experiment, the layout was very interesting. They took pieces of tibia, bone, from the mouse. They took pieces, small pieces of bone from the mouse. They cleaned it very, very well, and they incubated these pieces of bone with osteoclasts, with the osteoclast cells. So we have pieces of bone and the osteoclasts, which are those cells we are degrading the bone. And this was, I think, after seeing the results, which I will show you now, is a very good model for osteoporosis. Remind you, osteoporosis, normal bone, and if the osteoclasts become too active compared to the osteoblast, we have a degradation of the bone and a high risk of fracture.